This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Somebody said that my friend and I were discussing the case of Abu Lahab, and that how could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask him to believe when a part of that belief was that he cannot believe because the Quran mentions he's going to Jahannam. So is this not a contradiction? That's the question.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Did you understand the question? I can rephrase. Was Abu Lahab required to believe in Islam? If no, how come? If yes, how could he believe when a part of that belief is that he's not going to believe? تَبَّتْ يَدَ أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَ عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَكَسَبَ. Allah revealed the Qur'an. The only two people amongst the era of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned by name in the whole Qur'an. There's only two people mentioned by name in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. We're not talking about Fir'aun and Musa and Ibrahim. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there are two individuals mentioned by name in the Qur'an. The first of them, Abu Lahab, تَبَّتْ يَدَ أَبِي لَهَبْ. The second of them, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرَى زَيْد. So, this person saying that how can Abu Lahab be expected to believe when a part of that belief is that he's not going to believe? And so he's asking, is this not an impossibility or contradiction? Now, we begin by stating that sometimes some questions are of detriment to our own iman, and they open up a Pandora's box and a discussion and back and forth, qila wa qal, that is of no benefit whatsoever. Not every question is beneficial. Not every answer is something that we can grasp and understand. And that is why in the Quran, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. O you who believe, do not ask questions that if you found out about them or you got deeper into them, it might actually cause you doubt and harm. And the context here, some people misunderstand this verse. Allah is never saying, don't ask questions about haram and halal. We must know our deen. If you have to do something, it's your job to ask a sheikh, a mufti, is this haram or halal? Allah is saying, don't ask questions that are of no value, and when you find out about them, they might actually hurt or harm you. And the context explains to us why this verse, and I'll just briefly go into this tangent, that one day the Prophet said, ask me any question you want, ask me any question. So one of the new converts, one of the Bedouins who was visiting Medina, he stood up and he asked a very foolish question. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about my father. Is he in Jannah or Jahannam? He's passed away. And the man's father was an idol worshipper. So the Prophet ﷺ said, your father is in Jahannam. So the man became very hurt at this. Then Allah is saying, why did you ask the question? Why did you ask? It's not useful to you to know. What happens is, khalas, is gone. You are not going to benefit to know. So this verse is used when the question at hand, when the answer is not going to benefit us at all. And it is possible that this question of Abu Lahab is in this realm. Also, there's an interesting hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. And that is that my ummah, he said, my ummah will be upon good. My ummah will be upon good as long as they don't believe in astrology, the nujum, and as long as they don't ask about the fate of the children of pagans. What's going to happen to the children who died? Will they go to Jannah? Will they go to Jahannam? And this is another common question that we get. Now, interestingly enough, this question of the children of the non-Muslims, actually I will get there one day inshallah, and I'll tell you, believe it or not, there are 10 opinions amongst our ulama. The Prophet said, don't ask, our ulama have 10 opinions, and we'll go over all of them. But here's the point, why did he say, don't ask about the children of pagans? Our scholars say, because the answer is of no practical value to us. What do we gain? How is it going to affect us? So it's as if our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, my ummah will be upon good as long as they don't go splitting hairs, as long as they don't go into such issues that are of no value to them. This is perhaps the gist of the hadith. So with this disclaimer, and perhaps this question of Abu Lahab is amongst them, we will then actually attempt to answer the question after this disclaimer. And I will say that you and your friend are not the first people in the ummah to think of this controversy. Maybe you would like to think that, but no. Great ulama, theologians have thought of this from the beginning of time. And this question actually comes under an aspect of theology that is a very, very advanced aspect of theology. It is called the issue of at-takleef bima la yutaq. And that translates as, can Allah obligate on an individual something that the individual is not capable of doing? At-takleef means Allah has put a burden. Ma la yutaq, that the person has no taqah, no power to do. And this is a classical controversy, and you have all of the schools of Islam. The Mu'tazilites said this is not allowed. Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari al-Baqillani, they said this is something that Allah is capable of doing, and others have given their positions. Ibn Taymiyyah has a very interesting response, and it is the one that I will conclude this question with. He said, "At-taqlif," because this is Abu Lahab's taqlif bima la yutaq, this is an example that they mention as well. Because Abu Lahab is being told to believe, and a part of his belief is that he will not believe. Right? Abu Lahab is commanded to believe, and a part of that belief, he will not believe. It's an oxymoron. So this is the classic example given to at-takleef bima la yutaq. Ibn Taymiyyah says, putting a burden on somebody that that person cannot do is divided into two categories. The first of them cannot happen, and the second of them can happen. The first of them is when Allah tells someone to do something that the person is physically incapable of doing. And he said, Allah says in the Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah will never do this, and Allah has never done it. And Ibn Taymiyyah gives the example that to say to a person he should fly, Allah is saying you should fly. This is impossible. And Allah will not ever put a command of something that is impossible. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Another example is somebody who has a paralysis or disease, or somebody cannot walk, and Allah says, you must walk. No, Allah is not going to tell him to do that. The second example, or the second category, is to require somebody to do something that the person is not capable of doing because the person is doing the opposite at the same time. So for example, to tell the kafir to believe, and the kafir is a kafir, so he's not believing. And Allah knows that the kafir will remain a kafir. But that's not impossible for the kafir to become a believer. Rather, the kafir is being told to do something that the kafir is capable of doing, but he's not going to do because he is busy with the opposite of iman, and that is kufr. So technically it's not impossible in the linguistic sense. It is possible, but it is going to be an impossibility because that kafir, in the knowledge of Allah, will forever remain a kafir. And so even though Allah is commanding him to accept iman and to be a Muslim, still the person will not do that in the knowledge of Allah. And so one could say the kafir is being told to do something he will not do, but it is not an impossibility. The kafir can do this. And this is the response that we can be given, that yes, in one sense, Abu Lahab was commanded to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another sense, Allah knew he would never believe. And so some have argued that this verse is actually a miracle, because if Abu Lahab had publicly proclaimed iman, it would have thrown a spanner in the work. It would have been a big confusion. Now what to be done? And so some have argued this is in fact a mu'jiza from Allah, that Allah is telling Abu Lahab that you're going to go to Jahannam, and Abu Lahab has 5 years, 10 years he's living, and he never challenges this. And this is a valid interpretation as well, or a valid claim to make. So in the end of the day, we say that Allah will never tell a human to do that which is impossible for the human to do. But Allah Azza wa Jal will burden a person with something the person might choose not to do. And that, no, he cannot blame anybody. He cannot blame Allah. He can only blame himself. Abu Lahab refused to accept Islam. And so Allah predicted, you will be in Nar yasla naran dhata lahab. And that is not a contradiction. It is not something that is putting the impossible on any human being. So to conclude, Allah Azza wa Jalla will never burden somebody with more physically that is impossible for the person to do. That is the first question.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنا في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال.